God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word. Today, we continue in a message that Dr. Don began yesterday. Now, if you missed yesterday, that's okay. You can find it online at theencouragingword.org. But Dr. Don will catch us up in just a moment on this concept from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, about what "let's roll" could mean for you and for me as we face the day-to-day struggles of life. Whether you're in the valley or on the mountaintop, just know that God's word is ready to speak to you today. We believe it, and we look forward to seeing God live that out. While we're here, know that we're available to pray with you and for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or online, keyboard to keyboard, at theencouragingword.org. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I am going to invite you to take your Bibles this morning and open them to Hebrews chapter 13, the book of Hebrews, and the 13th chapter. And I know this is going to surprise some of you, but I'm going to read just one verse, because that's all we can get through today, is one verse. And even then, when you hear what God has to say to us, I think we're going to understand that. I think the Lord intended us to preach on this one subject for the rest of our lives. It's that important. It's that critical. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. Keep on loving each other as fellow Christians. The word there, brother, sister. Keep on loving each other as brothers and as sisters. That is not a comparison that is made. It's not saying that I need to love people the same way as I love my two brothers, Rod and Murray, the way they love me. That's not what they're talking about. It's not what God's saying. God is saying here that we need to love each other because, and the word here, folks, this is very important, the word "as" there, literally translated, means because you are brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, we're going to study some wonderful things here this morning. Let's roll. It's what we're going to do. That's our sub-series. I remind you, September 11th, 2001, we're told that Flight 93, the passengers on that ill-fated flight, we're told, had been told the devilish intent of the terrorists who were striking at the heart of our people, the United States of America. We're told that a conversation took place on Flight 93 amongst the passengers, and we're told that at one point in time, that we know for certain, that one gentleman by the name of Mr. Todd Beamer stood up. And he basically said, we know exactly what he said, but this is what he said. He said, folks, we don't have any more time to talk. We've done enough talking. Let's roll. As long as I live, I'll never forget that. That is such a motivation to me in my own life, and how grateful I am for these heroes, these people. And no telling, we don't know what that one statement, the action of those heroes on that plane, averted. They lost their own lives for the sake of who? We don't know. But they took action. In Hebrews, from chapters 1 through 12, that's a lot. That's by far the biggest proportion of the book of Hebrews. It has only 13 chapters. But for 66 consecutive, not consecutive, but for 66 Sunday morning messages, we studied, we talked about, we analyzed, we listened, we took notes concerning the things that we were hearing from the first 12 chapters. All this talk, it's unbelievable, rich. We've learned so much. In chapter 13, God stands up and he says, enough talk. Let's roll. Take action. This is the walk of our talk. It's probably my greatest struggle because I find myself always talking, telling everybody else what we think ought to be done, but it's an entirely different thing for me to get up and do it myself. I've got some friends who water ski. I've sat on the back of that boat sometimes. Boy, can I give instructions. But they've probably figured out by now that I haven't got on them skis myself. Well, this is the part at which God says, enough. Get on the skis yourself. It's time to get into action. Last week, and I'm not going to belabor this point, but it is important, I tried to explain to you the importance of doctrine. There's so many of our students, boys and girls, today worshiping with us who would say, goodness, why have I got to study all that history? I mean, that happened back then. Why calculus? Why mathematics? Why science? Why do I need to study literature? For crying in a bucket, William Shakespeare died in 1652. Why do I need, let's just let him be dead for a while. Why do I need to read all those these and thous? And I don't think it's going to make any difference to Richard. He lost his horse. He's always lost his horse. He'll never get his horse and he won't have a kingdom. So why do I need to read about my horse, my kingdom for a horse? Who cares? Well, we know why. Because these are the things that are so important to equip us for life. I gave you a number of reasons. I just simply reiterate some of them. Number one, the need for doctrine. It is the standard of our conduct. Number two, it's the foundation of our moral judgment. Friends, listen, every day you and I have got to make moral judgments. Every day we are confronted by decisions. You and I will never make the decisions that we need to make if we don't have a foundation. Number three, it's the compulsion of love. We love because we know God loves us. Number four, it is the power of our godliness. We're never going to do anything but hold to a form of godliness. If we don't know the truth of the Word of God, we will never hold on to the power of godliness through Christ Jesus. It's the power of godliness. Number five, it's the indispensable mandate of Scripture. God's Word tells us the time will come and people will no longer put up with sound doctrine. Folks, it's happening in America. You know that, I know that. We're living in a day and age that's telling us education's not necessary. And it's compounded by things, by money. We got young men coming out of high school and being drafted with multi-millions of dollars and leapfrogging even college education because there's no need. Got everything I want. So I'll just come out of high school and earn millions. We can understand the pressures. Our society, folks, is geared toward anything. What we're doing is we're saying we want to educate our people, but we do not recognize it as an indispensable mandate. Well, God tells us that studying and knowing His words is an indispensable mandate. You cannot do without it. It is the equipment of action. It's the equipment of action. All of this that we read about and study and take notes about, that's our equipment. It's like if I want to get a new lawnmower and I go out and I get myself a new lawnmower and I get a manual and I read up all about a lawnmower. I know how to crank the chain and how to do this and how to do that. But when does a lawnmower really become a lawnmower, folks? When it sits there and smiles at me in my garage? No, when it cuts the grass. You can tell the things that I struggle with. It's one thing to read about it, it's another thing to do it. It is the equipment of our action. And then number seven, it is the candle of our light. That's what doctrine is. It's the candle of our light. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine." And here's the candle. You never light a candle if you don't have the candle to light. Right? You never make a moral judgment that's pleasing to the heart of God if you have no foundation to stand on, the wherewithal and the means to make the judgment. How are you supposed to make the judgment? That's why we're living in a world today where people are going berserk. Most people in America today say, I'm going to make my decision on what suits me. If it affects my pocket, if it does this for me, we've got no foundation. Folks, in America today, we've got a gradual eroding of the foundation, the very fabric that makes us Americans. That's why the country no longer knows what to do. It's a zoo out there. It's just a whole lot of talk. And then they say, go to the polls. Everybody vote. Most of the people who go to the polls have got no idea what they're voting about. It doesn't matter what a person's done. It doesn't matter what they've said. It doesn't matter what they represent. Well, I've always done this. I'm going to do it. There's no foundation, right? How do you make judgments? Now, friend, listen to me. One of the reasons why you're struggling in life, because you never give yourself an opportunity to stand on this foundation. You don't put yourself in a position. It takes a lot. This is the hard part, the doctrine part. Nobody wants to pay the price. Let's roll.
It is time. Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of Dr. Wilton in just a moment. But oh my goodness, so many good things are taking place across the country and literally across the world through the ministry of the Encouraging Word. Dr. Don wants me to remind you right now, right where you are, we'd love to talk with you, pray with you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-WORD. 899-9673. As you're hearing this message from Dr. Wilton and ultimately from the Lord and His Word through Dr. Wilton, if God's compelling you to a decision, let us pray you through the next step. 866-899-9673 is the number. We would love to connect with you. And we want to say thank you to so many of you that are joining us and becoming what we call encouragers.
Thank you for being an encourager with me through the Encouraging Word broadcast ministry. You are making a difference in people's lives. Why don't you become an encourager? Partner with us, partner with me. Become an encourager today and be part of something far bigger than any of us.
When you take this step of faith, you'll receive the exclusive brand new CD DVD resource called Erasing Jesus, a powerful tool that'll help you stand strong in your faith in a world that's somewhat intolerant to Jesus Christ. Also, you'll get a bonus journal just to say thank you for partnering with us. In addition, you'll receive a monthly personal letter from Dr. Wilton, as well as other resource opportunities, a 24-hour confidential live prayer line, a quarterly daily devotional guide, and notifications of events featuring Dr. Wilton in your area. To learn how you can become an encourager, send your request to Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us at 866-899-WORD, or visit us on the web at theencouragingword.org. We hope you will make your commitment to spread the precious gospel of Jesus Christ around the world with us today. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
That's what this is all about. All right, so we've talked enough. Action number one, love fellow Christians. Love fellow Christians. Now, this is remarkable. This is unbelievable because there's a lot of things that I know that God expects of all of us as believers. I mean, we could be here all day. In fact, we've got a lot more to talk about in chapter 13 for the next several weeks. But action number one, the first thing that God tells us to do based upon what we've heard, because of who we are. Can you believe this now, folks? Just listen to this. Of all the things, he says, love fellow Christians. Why? Let me give you three reasons why. Number one, because love is the standard bearer of our faith. That's why. Love is the standard bearer of our faith. If you are a Christian, you are a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You hold to the Christian faith. Love is your standard bearer. Now, folks, most other religions in the world, that is not true. There are religions in the world today that in their quote-unquote Bibles, here's what their Bibles, what their preachers will tell them. They'll say to them, if you want to have a relationship with God, their God, if you want to be able to go to their heaven with their God, wherever that might be, whatever that religion teaches, here's what you need to do. Go and kill as many Americans as you possibly can. It's a hallmark of their faith. Do you know that there are people in Palestine and in Israel today that their religion tells them that the standard bearer of their faith is whether or not they would strap bombs around their waist and walk onto a bus in a public place and blow themselves up, men, women, and children. That is the standard bearer of their religious faith. Now, you and I call ourselves Christians, and we are. What's the standard bearer of our faith? It's love. Love. God is love. Number two, here's the second reason why we are told to love fellow Christians, because love is not only the standard bearer to our faith, but love is, watch this, the window to our faith. I love this. Now, this is the hard one for me, for Don Wilton. And if you just all look at me for a moment, don't you think I look fairly sharp today? I'm trying. You know, here's what God says. God says, I wish I could get you all to look at each other, but I'm obviously the one in the pulpit at the moment. But here's what God says. Don Wilton, you know me and you love me. When people look at you, here's what happens. Because you are love, because I am love, because you love fellow Christians, when people look at you, you are the window through which they look. And when people look, as it were, through you, they see the love of God. Now, that'll tell you why this is jolly difficult, folks. Because there have been 1,000 times in my life when people have looked through the window of Don Wilton, and they've seen anything but the love of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Let's roll. This is tough. I'm going to ask you something. When people look at you, what do they see? What does your wife see? What do your children see? What does your husband see? What do people at work see? See, folks, when God tells us to love our fellow Christians, it's because love is not only the standard bearer of our faith, love is not only the window of our faith. Jesus put it like this. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. We put it backwards. We say we've got to go and love everybody in the world, in Africa, China, India. That's not what God is saying. God is saying all the people in Africa, China, in cow pens, in Spartanburg, in Greer, in Gaffney, in Asheville, North Carolina, all people of the world are going to know that you belong to me because through your window they see the love of God, which confirms who you are. Number three, third reason, because love is a defining indicator of our faith. Now, folks, listen. Why must we love our fellow Christians? Not only because love is a standard bearer, not only because love is the window, but love is a defining indicator of our faith. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, the Apostle John puts it like this. He says, we, those of us who profess to know Christ, we know that we've passed from death to life. We know that we are believers. We know that we've been forgiven of our sin. Know that our names are written in God's book in heaven because of the fact that we love our fellow Christians. Those people who claim to know Jesus Christ but have no love for believers, for fellow believers, are abiding in death. They don't have the love of God in them. Now, moms and dads, I'm just going to pick on you for a moment. There's a mother or father here today, and you've got a son or a daughter, and you all, this perplexes you. You wondering whether your son or daughter knows Jesus Christ. Just apply this acid test. Ask yourself this question. Does your son or daughter want to be around fellow believers all the time? Yes or no? If, folks, listen to me, If you have to beg a person to come to church, to be involved with Christian people, to go to youth groups, to be on Christian camps, to be a part of FCA at school, to be in the BSU, to do Christian things. If you've got to beg a person to do that, now watch me. I want to make something very clear here, folks. Watch me. That person doesn't know Jesus Christ. End of the story. Non-negotiable. According to God's word, it's a key indicator of our faith. Those who have passed from death to life love their brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, folks, listen carefully here. Let's roll. Here's where the water hits the wheel. It's the standard bearer of our faith. It is the window to our faith, and it is a defining indicator of our faith. Now, I want you to note something very significant. Now, this is exciting, guys. Get ready for this. The word that is used here in verse 1 is the word Philadelphia. Anyone been to Philadelphia? Raise your hand. Thank you. Now, what do we call Philadelphia? The city of? Thank you. Brotherly love. That's the word that's used here, by the way. Did you know that? Philadelphia is actually in the scriptures. Now, that'll be a shock to some of you. That'll ring your bell. All right? Now, watch this. Keep on Philadelphiaing each other. Let me show you something about this word. The word Philadelphia, we know, means brotherly love. If you break that word up into its two components, phileo, the first part in the Greek text, means deep and abiding affection. And it speaks about a root affection, something that's grounded. It just runs so deep. The second part of that word is the word adelphos. And the word adelphos literally means kinsman. Now watch this, folks, all right? So when we're talking about brotherly love here, we're talking about the same. It's not a comparison. God is saying to us, because we have a kinsman relationship together in Christ, so it is we ought to love each other as brothers and sisters. Have you ever asked somebody, who's that man over there? Say, well, he's my kin. What do you mean by that? Let me explain this, folks. This means that we are measured in our faith by the fact that we love our kinsmen. In other words, that we come from the same womb. You and I, people all around the world. Now, here's how this works. It's a remarkable thing. God, this is how it all began. God gave His only begotten Son. What does that mean? It means that Jesus Christ came from the same womb as God. Now, folks, some people, they say, well, the virgin birth is not important. The virgin birth is an absolute fundamental of the Christian faith. Now, why is the virgin birth so important? It is important because Jesus Christ did not come from the womb of a human mother or the seed womb of a human father. Jesus Christ was begotten of the womb of God. I want you to hold on to this. So it is that when we are born again, we are born of the womb of God.
That new birth is available to you right here and right now, just by saying yes to Jesus Christ. I pray that you would allow us to take the next step with you and to pray you through those choices, that wonderful life-changing decision. You can speak with one of us right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or connect with us online at theencouragingword.org. This Thursday is an appointment, a divine appointment, where the Lord wanted you to hear through Dr. Don Wilton His love for you, His acceptance for you just as you are. Come to Jesus today. Before we get away, closing thoughts from Dr. Wilton.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me
and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ. And don't leave whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
Again, if the Lord has spoken through Dr. Wilton today, let's talk about it. Let's pray you through the next step at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or connect with us online at theencouragingword.org. It's also a great place to discover resources like this.
Satan is alive and is on the move in the United States. He is actively engaged in all aspects of our government, in our educational systems, and in the lives of our children, the next generation. Never forget, Satan has been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ, and this victory enables us and the next generation of believers to stand victorious in the presence of the enemy, unwavering and unafraid. This month, as you give a gift of $20 or more to The Encouraging Word, you will receive a powerful message series by Dr. Don Wilton, Satan, the Defeated Enemy Among Us. Plus, you will receive a copy of Dr. Wilton's inspiring book, Defying the Odds, to help encourage you through all of life's challenges. Request this empowering resource set today as you support The Encouraging Word with your ministry gift. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD, or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Your generous support enables us to bring the uncompromised and life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ to where people are around the world.
Well, here I am again. What a day this has been. You know, one of the things I want to say to you is let's stay connected. You know, we've got so many means to be able to do that. You can write to us, email us. You've got all the details right there in front of us. We're a family together. We stay connected in so many ways. And your life is very important to me. I see you there. And God shows me. And I want to be able to pray with you and connect with you and be a vital part of your relationship, your growth. Your needs are mine. I'm walking in your shoes. And I want to pray for you. Please don't stop. Call us, write us, keep praying, keep giving, keep connecting, keep rejoicing, keep celebrating, keep striving. God is on His throne. This is The Encouraging Word, and now you know why.
This wraps up the Thursday edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton, but stay connected. You can meet us online at theencouragingword.org, or I pray you've stored this in your cell already. Our cell number is 866-899-WORD. It'll connect you with us 24 hours a day, 866-899-9673. We're always here to pray with and for you. Till tomorrow, have a great day.